destiny of character. So many times as we grow through life, we will make statements, most of them are foolish, but we will make statements about, well, it was his time to die, her time to die. They were destined to die. But it does not mean that it was their time to die. Because when God gave us free will, he did not take that free will away from us. And he says, you go out here and you do something really, really foolish, and you get hurt after I've warned you not to do it. Don't blame me. I will always be there for you. Did you cry out to me? Did you ask me? Did you care whether or not I was even there? So God reminds us of his destiny. Now, I'm going to read to you, and you have it on your bulletin there on the outline. I'm going to read to you the secular definition of destiny. Destiny is the hidden power believed to control what will happen in the future. All right. You and I as Christians need to understand God knows our future. He knows if we're going to do something foolish, be harmed, and or be so foolish that our life ends early. Now, for all of those who really have a problem with that theology of saying, well, wait a minute, if they're gone, it's their time. You can't change that. Then why do you pray for anybody? If it's their time to die, why did God tell us to pray one for another? We pray asking in God's will. You see, if it's the ultimate time for them to leave, they leave, and I don't care how many prayers you kick up. But if through our foolishness, through some sickness of life, through some other problems that come into our life, and we stand on the verge of death, God commands us to pray one for another. We can lay hands on, touch one another. It's interesting how everybody gets so, he getting Pentecostal again. I knew he was going to. Folks, I've been Pentecostal from that standpoint ever since I can remember. Why do you think we hug, shake hands? When someone truly hurting, why do you think that they need that touch and caring heart? I have no power to heal anyone, neither do you. But I do know the one who does. And I will not question whether or not he does the healing or not. Whether or not that he will revive one and bring them back to, I don't know that answer. Because you see, I don't know the true hurt that awaits that individual. God does. God said, and I will spare the righteous from the evil to come. That's good enough for me. Destiny. Well, I want us to look at destiny maybe in a different light. I want us to see, now this is not from my Presbyterian friends who truly believe you fall down the steps and you get up, you dust yourself off and say, phew, I'm glad that's over. That everything had to happen. Everything in life happens because God had willed it so. He's told nature, nature, I've created you. And we call it Mother Nature. I don't care what you call it. But God's in control. Amen. Sometimes nature gets completely out of hand. There's one person on one side of the street, another person on the other during a Category 4 tornado. One is taken and the other house isn't touched. Oh, was that an act of God? The act of God on that one, my friends, was to show you and me, he's still in control. So therefore, he said, through the destiny focus, I want you to remember this. Because I've created you in my image through love, I've created you with the freedom of choice. So therefore, as we go through life, we know the results of the bad choices we have made. We know the results of some of the good choices we have made. You won't know them all until the end of the age. For what if you followed the Lord that day and just mentioned Jesus the way he told you to in the presence of someone? That individual then, through that word that you shared with them, or the action, whatever it would be, ends up being a minister of the gospel, a preacher, a Billy Graham, or whoever. And all those people who listen to the word through that preaching, do you realize that that's a check mark for you, Christian? That's why everything can't be tallied up until the end of the age, the ultimate end. Because you said that to that one person, then multiple thousands throughout the generations could have accepted Christ. Isn't that a blessing? Only God can do that, folks. We are destined as Christians to be with him. But I want you to listen to James 1, 7 and 8. Now this is what happens because we choose. A person unable to make up his mind and undecided in all he does must not think he will receive anything from the Lord. The person who lives this way, unable to make a decision, they are destined never to receive anything from the Lord. You got that? They are destined because they chose that destiny. They chose that path. I choose not to believe. Us, anyone choosing not to believe, changes nothing about who God is and his salvation process. Because you don't believe in God, you don't believe in his Son, you don't believe there is a Holy Spirit of God, doesn't make it not a fact. So God says, why would you expect anything from me when you won't make up your mind to believe in my Son? And yet God pours out blessing after blessing after blessing. I've said this many times over the 20-some years I've been here. Folks, you cannot miss a blessing from God. You can hide from God, you're still blessed. How do I know that? You're alive, aren't you? And as long as there's breath within you, God says you're destined this way. Our decisions determine our destiny. How I decide to choose Christ or reject him. Acts 2 verse 21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So my destiny then, because I called on the name of the Lord, is eternal life with him. For those who choose not to believe, and I do not read that scripture lightly, nor do I offer the subject matter lightly, because God says, if you won't believe, you'll receive nothing from me. Nothing. You have signed your destiny. You have accepted not to believe. Only Christians, though, seem to catch it. We better be catching it, Christian. Because there's a world out here that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I am not going to stand up to that world and say, everyone ain't going to hell and you deserve it. That's not what I was sent to do. No, you were sent to do. We were sent by the authority of God, created in His image, to reveal to the world that they can have a tremendous destiny, a destination that they know about, a destination that now they cannot see, but now they believe, and in that believing, the Spirit of Almighty God indwells us. And it says, now you see dimly through that smoke glass, but one day your destiny is to see clearly. You will know as you are known. When you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, He knows your name. You are destined never to have to worry about hell. Now you hear me? Your destiny is to never worry about hell. We're going to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We will storm the gates of hell, Jesus says. Well, now, wait a minute. The Scripture says you and I as Christians have the authority to attack hell. Storm the gates. Amen. Gates happens to be a defensive mechanism. But the Christian is given the authority and the power to storm the gates of hell. And Jesus says, and those gates will not prevail against you. You think Satan could ever lock something that Jesus can't get in? Do you really think that this is all there is? This life, living in this body? My goodness, then we are of all people most miserable. If there is no resurrection, why would I preach? If there is nothing going on after this body, why would I stand up and proclaim the truth of God that man will live forever? Now, we're going to do one of two things. We are going to be living eternally with the Lord forever as a Christian or as a non-believer. You will still be alive in the human body, but you will be eternally dying, but never able to die. You ever been with somebody so disfigured or harmed they want you? Chaplain Vance, will you pray that I can die? Think of that. You learn a lot over life, don't you? How do you answer a request of one who wants you to pray that God will take their life? That's pain, people. You got to walk a mile. You have to be there. And the Lord says, I've given you authority. I want you to take my love right over there. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Good, because you try to change it, Larry Pete. You try to do it your way, and that way has never worked. Amen. And the Lord speaks to us and says, listen, Christian army, all I ask you to do is show up. And when you show up on that front line, watch me. You talk about fireworks. You talk about something beautiful. It is not the destruction of fire or by fire. But that beautiful part of all of it is Jesus is doing it. And I know as a Christian, if Jesus allows it to take place in me, that's fine with me. I laugh at my own cancer, but as I say all the time, I will never laugh at yours. Each one of us individually, we're called by God to stand up and proclaim His truth and to be at peace. Can't you hear the pleading? You're destined for peace. When you say yes to me, I want you to know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Or in the Old English, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're saved. I don't care Old English or modern. He said, call on my name. Your destiny is sealed. Do you really think when He has told us time and time again that when we said yes to His Son told us that He was going to send a seal, His Holy Spirit. Now you hear me, people. This is not a human seal. It's not a seal of a Pharaoh's ring, of a dictator's purpose, signature. They put Jesus in the tomb. The Roman seal was placed upon that stone. What did that mean? That meant that anyone who messed with that stone would be put to death. Here's the difference. It is not the seal when Christ sends you His Holy Spirit and we are sealed by His Spirit. It's not the point Jesus doesn't say that anyone that breaks that seal, you're going to be put to death. You know what He says? No one can break that seal. Amen. You're sealed for eternity. The seal can't be broken. He said, I don't have to put guards there. I am your seal. I'm the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and my stamp of approval for you was on that cross. I am sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And that seal can never be broken. If a seal can be broken, it's not of God. And God says, don't mess with my blood. I wish the gangs in Chicago, New York, and Kentucky would listen to that. Don't mess with my blood. The only seal that man can never break. Not only that, Satan is much wiser than we are. He has no intention of attempting to break it because he knows he can't. We, through our foolish actions, but my destiny has already been determined because I called on the name of the Lord. So therefore, I know my destiny. I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord, right? I know that. All right. I don't have to know everything that's involved with that other than the seal of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to know how to spell Spirit, spell Jesus, or spell God to know them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's always our choice. But it's also our choice that chooses our character. People will not remember anything about your young days of foolishness. As a matter of fact, they don't even care. We've got so much baggage ourselves in our own lives, we sure are not going to mess with somebody else's if you have any common sense whatsoever. But listen, our choices determine our character. Now, we can say, man, is he a character? Or we can say, there are men and women of great character. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Right? All right, we admit that. Here's a problem so often. Throughout my life, I realize that I have been bad company for someone else. I admit that. I know that. Was I a Christian? Am I a Christian? Yes, yes, yes. Have I done everything just like the Lord told me to? You know better than that. Because each one of you have been down that same type of path. Different names, different games, but you've been there. And we find ourselves walking in it. But here's what God really wants us to hear, Christians. If you say you were addicted by alcohol or whatever, and then you decide when you get saved and you say, I'm going to go to the bars and I'm going to witness so people will be led to Christ and know Him like I know Him. And if you would ask your pastor, Pastor, don't you think that's a good idea? I will say, absolutely not. No. You see, we live in a world where we listen to people condemn others. The reason they condemn others, that particular sin that others are involved with happens not to be their hang-up. That's not their private personal sin. So therefore, let's nail everyone else. Let me tell you something, Christian. The only nailing that needs to be done has already been done on that cross. He said, I nail it all. So make sure you're good company. Make sure you don't mislead. Make sure you raise your children with respect of my word. You make sure you pay attention because I've already promised you eternal life with me. That's the only thing that's really going to make it, folks, is the promises Jesus has made to us. Did you ever break a promise? Did you ever forget you even promised? And did you know that in the time you were making the promise, it was a lie? Oh, man, you know what that sounds like? Human existence. But I can't use that as an excuse. I can't use a bad case of the stupids as an excuse. Because in Christ I have no excuse. As long as I place Christ first, talk to Him before I do, mean it, and stay on the line of battle. I don't need to cross that line. Jesus says, when I call my army to battle, show up, stand there, watch me. Whew, what a parade. How awesome. You know, I don't, of all the religions I've studied, of all the belief systems, do you know that faith in Jesus Christ, Christianity, is the only relationship or religion for the world whose God tells us He's already taken care of it for us? He does not tell me to go out and kill somebody because they don't believe. Larry, I got this for you. I've got you an eternal home. It's for you. Nobody can take it away from you. And I yet give you the freedom as a human being, just like I give Mother Nature. I want you to do your thing through life. Live it. And understand the fullness of that life will only be found in my word. But my word is there to teach and to train and to remind you. Once I remind you, peace is automatic. Gosh, why in the world would I be afraid of death or people? Why? Because I'm a human being. And it's natural for us as human beings. You have reflexes. And we are to fight death. Why? Because man was not created ever to die. We would never have died had it not been for sin. Therefore, we will go through the human experience. It just so happens I choose to go through my human experience with Jesus. Because I can't handle it. I never could. On my own, I never will be able to. And that's the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, that you're the one that sets destiny in place. That it is through your love, your blood, that awesome truth, the best drink of water we'll ever receive. It's all through you, Father. And all we have to do is show up on the front lines, and you will feed us, and you will show us the truth of eternal life. We ask the blessing, Father, upon each one that is hurting, each one sick, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We ask that special touch, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.